Hi, it's Dave. So Tesla just announced their annual impact report, and it gives kind of an overview on Tesla's environmental impact, what they're doing to really improve the environment. And also, it has some hidden gems on Tesla's kind of secret strategy and their secret sauce. In this video, what I'm going to do is I'm going to do a quick overview of some kind of interesting tidbits and highlights of the impact report. But I'm going to spend most of the time diving into what I think is the most interesting part, which is Tesla's secret sauce and their strategy. All right, first, let's look at their annual impact report here. This is an 84-page report, quite long. I'll just kind of go through a few tidbits first. Tesla's global fleet and solar panels enable customers to avoid emitting 5 million metric tons of CO2 emissions. And then Tesla actually shows all of where they get their cobalt from. And they go by each factory and each supplier. So if someone wants to actually look into where the cobalt is sourced and how ethically they can do that. Next here, Tesla compares their emissions per mile compared to average ICE car, and they kind of compare it to different ways you could charge your Model 3. For example, if you're using it for personal use or ride sharing, or if you charge by solar power, and if you do a solar panel and ride sharing. Next, Tesla is showing how they're tackling some of the biggest economic sectors that are emitting greenhouse gas emissions. Right here in the US, 30% of greenhouse gas emissions are transportation. And then you have electricity and heat production is 35%, industry, building, etc. And I would imagine actually Tesla is getting ready to deploy their HVAC system for household usage, because it's just such a big area of greenhouse emissions. Here, Tesla diagrams how they use solar panels to generate solar power. Then they store that energy in power walls. They maximize utilization with Autobidder. And then they get to use that energy through Tesla vehicles. And they maximize the usage through full self-driving and eventually the robotaxi fleet. Tesla here shows that the vast majority of their supply chain is actually locally sourced. So on the left, you see 73% of non-Tesla parts in for their Fremont factory actually sourced in North America. And then in China, you see for their Shanghai factory, they're actually sourcing 86% of their parts locally in China, which is amazing. Here they detail how using kind of 4680 Tesla cells with dry electrode process is going to reduce energy consumption by 70%, in the manufacturing process. In this diagram, they show how heavy trucking is just 1.1% of the US kind of car transport fleet. However, it actually emits 70% of emissions. I think Tesla can do a big job once they release their Tesla Semi reducing this. And here, Tesla shares how they work with third-party recyclers for their batteries, but they also are starting to recycle batteries in-house. And in the fourth quarter of 2020, Tesla successfully installed the first phase of their cell recycling facility at Gigafactory Nevada. All right, so the impact report has over 80 pages of really interesting stuff, but I think the most fascinating page is this page here because it kind of details Tesla's secret sauce or their strategy. I'm going to spend the most time talking about this. Here it says the Model 3 is the first EV to be priced on par with ICE vehicle equivalents. Unfortunately, most other EVs on the market are still priced at $10,000 to $20,000 premium compared to their direct ICE equivalents. And then here, Tesla goes on and says, we're not just trying to build the best electric cars. We are striving to build the best cars, period. And then they say they want their cars to be superior to fossil fuel alternatives in every way. And this includes performance, safety, efficiency, and competitive prices. All right, so what about Tesla's secret sauce can we learn from this? I think first off, Tesla is sharing how all of their cars are priced on par with their ICE equivalents, meaning you're not paying an extra premium just because it's an electric car. Here, Tesla shows a graph where it shows the Mercedes C-Class, BMW 3 Series, the Model 3 Standard Range Plus, and the Audi A4, and it shows actually they're right around the same price. I would say, though, actually, you get more bang for your buck with a Tesla because you get better safety features, even basic autopilot included, with the Model 3. And you get this gorgeous, 15-inch display with navigation, built in. Anyway, so this first part is the price, competitive pricing. The second part is Tesla's trying to build the best cars, period. They're not just trying to build the best electric cars. A lot of people confuse Tesla, thinking that Tesla's competing with other electric cars. However, Tesla's never tried to really compete with other electric cars. They've always tried to compete with the best of the best ICE cars. Number three, the way Tesla competes with these ICE cars is they try to make their Tesla vehicles superior to ICE cars in every way. So performance, safety, efficiency, and price. And the strategy is simply this. Tesla establishes a beachhead in the premium market. So this was the Roadster, right? And later on, it was the Model S and X. And in that market, in those markets, they're basically building the best car, period, right? They're trying to beat out their IC equivalents and make it a no-brainer. And then they ride the lower costs from economies of scale and technology improvements to go downstream one market at a time. And the moment of truth was the Tesla Model 3. It was their big shot, right, to have more of a mass market car and to see if this model, right, of really trying to be the best of the best in that market segment will work out. And successfully, Tesla did it. They made, right, the best possible car around that $40,000, right, mark. And then Tesla released the Model Y with the same strategy, right? Basically to make the best SUV in that category. And so far, Tesla has been successful with this strategy in every single market segment that they're going into. And it's basically a rinse and repeat situation, right? They're riding the lower costs, right, as they grow in economies of scale, as their battery tech and all this other tech improvement, you know, brings down costs, and they're able to go downstream. And so their next kind of big thing is going to be the $25,000 Tesla. And this is going to have probably an order of magnitude, right, greater demand, because it's a complete different market segment. But Tesla will follow the same meticulous strategy. They will create the best of the best, right, car at that price point. So it's a no-brainer to the end customer. Peter Thiel has a book called Zero to One. And in this book, he kind of talks about how competition is for losers, right? Monopolies kind of make the biggest winners. And I think what Tesla's doing is a little bit different. Rather than creating, let's say, a monopoly in each market segment, they're just creating the preeminent position, meaning through product and innovation, right, and the driving down of costs, they're really creating, right, the best of the best product in each market segment. And with each market segment they conquer, it allows them to go downstream and conquer even bigger market segment. And if I'm a competing automaker, man, I'd be super nervous, because here you have, right, this super innovative, fast-moving company that is killing, right, these top segments, these more premium segments with performance and safety and price and, you know, technology and everything, and they're just moving ruthlessly down the market, one market segment at a time. And as they move down market, their volumes just grow. What's also interesting with Tesla's strategy here is that electric vehicles have one inherent big disadvantage compared to their counterpart IC cars. And the big disadvantage, I think, is long distance travel. If you're riding kind of an IC car and you're doing a long road trip, it's actually very convenient to use gas stations. I mean, it's fantastic, right? You just do a couple minutes and you're on the road again. To actually do a long road trip with, let's say, an electric vehicle, you have to stop by and charge, and that takes extra time. For some people without kids, maybe they don't mind, but it's still not as convenient as IC car. And I think Elon Musk and Tesla realized this early on. Their solution was this: they would do superchargers and they would work on autopilot. And the key insight here is that superchargers, even if you have a ton of them, they're still not enough, right? You need to make the freeway driving as easy or even easier than the IC equivalent vehicles out there. And while Tesla focused on autopilot, right, making it better on the freeway, they just kept on ruthlessly at it, innovating every year over year until it became a really fantastic product. And now traveling with a Tesla on a freeway is no longer a disadvantage because, A, you can relax, right, using autopilot and use the superchargers. What I think is really interesting about the strategy is by focusing on making electric cars, right, a Tesla vehicle better than the IC equivalent in every single area, including long distance travel, it forced Tesla to innovate in areas that maybe they weren't completely interested in the beginning. But in the end, it's opened up huge new market opportunities. Think about what's coming up with Tesla AI Day. Tesla is becoming the leader in real world AI. It could lead to a huge, right, amount of new market opportunities for Tesla to pursue. And eventually it could lead to Tesla becoming a huge player in the AI field. And this wasn't something that, like, Elon was thinking about per se for Tesla back in 2012 or 2013. It was rather an opportunity that came along, right, as Tesla was innovating and executing toward a better product. And it kind of makes me think that kind of fortune favors the innovator, right? Those who are ruthlessly focused on improving their products, pushing the envelopes of technology, new opportunities pop up in bigger markets. And that's why it's hard to kind of discount, right, the true innovators in the market and what their true kind of cap or potential could be. All right, hope this video has been helpful. If it has, go ahead, like and subscribe. All my videos could be found as an audio podcast. Just search for Dave Lee on investing in your favorite podcast player. I'm also on Twitter at HeyDave7. We'll see you in my next video. Thanks.